It was a blessing to be here yesterday as well. Just to see so many people that came out. You know, people measure success in different ways. I think for me, it's how many people's lives are made better because you're in it. And we see the evidence of what Pastor Bill has done throughout his life. And because you were in his life, you also will carry on that legacy and you will make a difference. So don't measure your success by how much money you've made or how many things you have. Because we all know those things will burn up and go away. But even if you affect just one person's life and make it better because you were in it, and I'm sure you already have done that, that will carry on for generations and generations. So we are grateful and thankful that the Lord has blessed us to know Pastor Bill. And because he was in your lives, there's no doubt that you would make somebody else's life better, especially by carrying on his legacy of being one beggar, telling another beggar where to get some bread.
Yes.
So with that said, I want to take a deviation from marching through Mark, but we're still going to stay in the life of Jesus in this very important chapter in the Bible of John 11. So we'll do John 11, verses 1 to 44, a long reading, but so worth hearing. So let us hear now from the Word of God. The Word of God says, "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'The illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go to Judea again.' The disciples said to him, 'Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you are going there again?' Jesus answered, 'Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him.' After saying these things, he said to them, 'Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go awaken him.' The disciples said to him, 'Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover.' Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant he was taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, 'Lazarus has died, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him.' So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, 'Let us also go, that we may die with him.' Now when Jesus came, he found Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha said to him, 'I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?' She said to him, 'Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world.' When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, 'The teacher is here, and he is calling for you.' And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Take the stone away." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone, and Jesus lifted his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe you sent me." When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him, let him go." Amen. And this is the holy, inerrant, infallible word of God. Amen. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you do not leave us in the dark, in this dark world, but you show us your truth. You show us that all who are in Christ, we will never truly die, but we will rise again, Lord, because your Son rose from the dead. He died for the sins of all who believe. He was buried, and he is risen, and he is now ruling and reigning at your right hand. But Lord, I ask that in this hour of need, in this time of loss, because Lord, it is still a loss on this earth when we lose a loved one, no matter knowing that we know where they are, it still hurts, Lord. There's still pain, suffering, sorrow, and grief. But give us the words of comfort. And let us be assured that it is okay to feel the way we do, because you love us. So open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts and our minds to receive what you have to say to us, Lord. And of course, if anybody is here within the sound of my voice that has not trusted in your Son, do not let them walk out the door until they know they can have eternal life in Christ Jesus. I pray everything in the holy name of Jesus, and the saints of God said, Amen. I recently had a conversation with a relative of mine. And she was telling me about a talk radio podcast show that she listens to, and a caller called in. It's like a conservative podcast. And I guess they were talking about God, and the caller called in and said he had a hard time believing that there is a God. He said he grew up in a foster care system, was in and out of many houses, and in many of those houses he was abused. And he would cry and pray to God to rescue him. And he wondered, and came to the conclusion that since he was never rescued from that situation, that there must not be a God. Now, I realized a little bit after that conversation that the relative I was having this conversation with was trying to ask me a question. You see, when I guess she was younger, her mom died at a young age. So that makes you question, if you're an unbeliever, not merely brought up in the church, why would God do this? Why would God take away somebody I love? So I did my best to share the gospel and explained why there is good and evil and the problem with evil in this world. And I'm hoping to revisit that conversation now that I've realized later that I think she was trying to ask me a question without asking me directly that question. And her question is valid. It's a valid question. It's okay. You're feeling sad about the death of a loved one. it's okay. It's okay. You mourn the loss and you grieve with pain in your heart. It's okay. You feel mad because God took away somebody that you love. It's okay. It's okay, even though you're a Christian and you know that the person who has died is a Christian and you know they're with God right now in heaven, but you're still confused and you don't understand. It's okay. It's okay, even though, again, you know they're in heaven and you know they will be resurrected. You know they're not feeling any pain anymore. They are with Jesus face to face. But you still feel pain because this person was maybe your spouse. Maybe this person was your parent, your sibling, your pastor, your friend. Somebody who you knew for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Maybe somebody who you knew your whole life. And now they're gone. They're not here with you on earth. What you're feeling is valid. It's okay. It's okay to mourn. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be angry. But it's also okay to have joy.
Yes.
It's okay to rejoice in the fact that they are in heaven.
Yes.
Yes.
It's okay to know that one day, if you are a Christian, you will be in heaven. You will be with God forever.
Amen.
But I will say this. If you are not a Christian, there's no joy. You have no future joy to look forward to. Your assurance and your hope is just the opposite. You have the assurance of being in a place that Jesus says where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth in the outer darkness, in the lake of fire forever.
That's right.
But it doesn't have to be that way. You can have assurance that you will be with him in paradise. Jesus says to the thief on the cross, today you will be with me in paradise. So I hope you hear that offer today, that command to repent and believe. Because you can have paradise. You can be adopted into the family of God. Adopted as a son, adopted as a daughter. I hope you know, if you're a Christian, that God loves you and you can be with him forever. In our text this morning, we see a friend of Jesus dies. Someone who this text says Jesus loved. Jesus was told of this man's illness, but he did not immediately go and heal him. But Jesus does eventually go, and he brings his disciples with him so they may see this miraculous wonder that's about to happen for the glory of God. As we walk through this passage today, we will do so in three parts. First, the glory of God. Second, by the love of God. And third, through the power of God. For the glory of God, by the love of God, through the power of God. And I pray that you see that God's sovereign decrees always are to bring him glory at the end. Though it is often hard for us to see, even though we are his children, we also benefit from his decrees and his glory. I pray that you hear what I love to tell people. That God loves you.
Yes.
Hear that God loves you. No matter your suffering, your pain, your loss, the things you go through on earth, dear Christian, God loves you. I pray that you hear, even in the darkness, that you see the light of the glory of God in Christ, because Christ has overcome that darkness.
Yes.
I pray that you know there is a great day coming where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. That death will be finally and definitively defeated.
Yes.
With all that said, let us get to our first point. For the glory of God. Let's hear again verse 1. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and Martha, her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. We see in verse 3, Mary and Martha send word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus was ill. They were hoping that he would come and heal their brother so that he would not die. Christians, this is what we do as well. And we should. We should pray for the Lord to come to heal our sick friends, to heal our sick family members. We prayed mightily for Pastor Bill to be healed. We should never stop praying. We should keep praying, pray and fast.
Yes.
We should never stop believing. Like that famous Journey song, "Don't Stop Believing." But God does not always heal the way we want him to. He doesn't always bring the healing when we want him to. King David prayed for his son to be healed. David fasted. And when David's son died, he stopped fasting. His servants wondered why he stopped fasting. 2 Samuel 12:21. Then his servants said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? You have fasted and wept for the child while he was alive. But when the child died, you arose and ate food." He said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me.'" If you recall the history of this story, David's son died as a result of David's sin. This was part of the judgment upon David. David's sin of taking Bathsheba, who was not his wife, taking her for his own. Death is a result of sin in one way or another. The Bible says, "The soul that sins shall die." Ezekiel 18:4. And this one, "The wages of sin is death." Romans 6:23. It is because of sin that we have death. Our sin, the sin of the world, brings the curse of death. We live in a world of sinners. Sin, again, is a terrible thing. You might think that little sin that you do has no effect, doesn't cause death. That little sin causes death. Christian, that sin has put Christ on the cross to atone for our sins. Sin brings death. I heard R.C. Sproul say once when he was asked, "Why do bad things happen to good people?" He said, "That only happened once, and he volunteered." That was Jesus, the only good person to ever live. Romans 6:23 again says, "The wages of sin is death." Then Paul writes this beautiful short little Greek word, de, translated, "but." But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. There is sin in the world. There is death in the world. But God is turning sin and death around in Christ Jesus, the only good man that died an undeserved death for his glory. Again, verse 4 of our passage says, "But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Was Jesus lying to his disciples? Did he not know that Lazarus would die? No. Jesus knew he would die, but that he was going to perform a miracle for many to see. It was to reveal his glory, to reveal that he has the authority to raise the dead, and to reveal God's love. And this brings us to our second point, by the love of God. Verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was." Yeah, that makes complete sense. You read, Jesus loves Martha and Mary, so he rushed right over there and healed Lazarus. No. He stayed where he was for 2 more days. What's going on here? He didn't rush over at that request. Some may see this like it seems like a contradiction. It seems like it doesn't make sense. You've experienced in your own life, right? You pray, you ask God to come meet your needs, and immediately your needs are met. Right then and there, he heals your family and your friends as soon as you ask, maybe even before you ask. He brings money to pay your bills, puts shelter over you when you don't know where you're going to live, as soon as you pray for it. He delivers you from a painful, abusive situation as soon as you ask. Why would a loving God delay? Because God loves you. Just as God loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, just because he's not answering you as soon as you ask the way you want him to answer you does not mean that God does not love you.
Yes.
He sent his son to die for you. How will he not also with him graciously give you all things?
Amen.
All things. But sometimes he waits 2 days. Sometimes he waits 365 days. Sometimes he waits even longer, because what you are asking for is what you don't need. Sometimes you are asking for things that will not bring him the most glory and your greatest good. We all wanted Pastor Bill to be healed. But Pastor Bill is more alive now than he ever has been.
Amen.
I quoted this before, and I'll quote it again. D.L. Moody. He said, "Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Northfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now." More alive than I am now. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more suffering. He's in glory.
Yes.
But we're here now. We are here now. But let me say again, it's okay if you feel angry, if you feel upset, if you're hurt, if you feel pain. The psalmist writes, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" You can cry out. You can cry out to God, "Where are you? Why are you so far from me?" Christian, God is there. God is here. He hears every one of your prayers. He sees every one of your tears. He hears you. Let me say again, he loves you. So Jesus, in showing his love, he waits 2 more days, then tells his disciples they must go to Judea. His disciples are hesitant because they know in Judea that's where they want to kill Jesus. They want to stone him. But Jesus tells them they must go. And he tells them in a way of sort of a parable. He says about walking in the day and walking in the daylight versus walking in the night. John Calvin says of this, "This is a way of Jesus to tell them that they walk in the light of God, that nothing's going to happen to them. They walk in the day. There's a mission to be accomplished when they go to Judea. They must go." And the disciples didn't know yet of the condition of Lazarus. We see here in verse 11. After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought they meant he was taking a rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." After his disciples seemed confused that Lazarus had fallen asleep, he tells them straight up, "No, Lazarus, he's dead." They had already believed in Jesus, these disciples, but Jesus tells them, "I'm glad that he's dead." Again, what? "I'm glad that he's dead, so that you may believe." Because Jesus knew, again, what he was going to do once he got there. So Jesus arrives in Bethany, where Lazarus had been in the grave for 4 days. Now, at first, this detail of 4 days might seem like a passing detail, but it's important to know historically that back then, they didn't have autopsies the way we do now to declare somebody dead. So they would wait, and after 4 days, they were like, "All right, they're dead." This is why, again, Jesus sovereignly waited 2 days to make sure that Jesus, or that Lazarus, was fully dead. He didn't want it to look like Lazarus just woke up, that he was dead, and this true miracle that he was about to do was true. Martha hears that Jesus is in town. She comes out to him. Verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask, God will give you." How much is our faith sometimes like Martha? "God, if you had been there, my brother would not have died. If you hear my prayer, you could have answered me." But we need to go on like Martha does here. "But I know you can still deliver me."
Yes.
"If you had been here, but I know. I know you are God."
Yes.
It's okay to have a faith that gets upset, that asks God these questions. It's okay to have a faith, again, that is confused, feeling like you are in the dark, but God loves you. You are not in the dark. You are not alone. Verse 23, Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?"
Amen.
She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Brothers and sisters, everyone dies. I think the statistic is like 100,000 people die a day. Something, a crazy number. But Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise." She thinks he's talking about in the last day, when he returns, that in the last day there'll be this general resurrection. Then Jesus says to her that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus says, if you believe in him, though you die, you will live. He doesn't say you will not die. He says, though you die, you shall live. You won't stay dead. You will die here in this present evil age. But brothers and sisters, if you are a Christian, you will not stay dead. But again, that's of course if you have believed. You must believe in him. You must believe into him. Believe into him. It's having union with him. And because he rose and you've believed into him, you will rise again as well. He has the authority to do so. So as Jesus asked Martha, I ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe this? Do you believe he rose from the dead? Do you believe he has power over the grave, that he is the Christ that came into the world? Not just power over his own grave that he rose, but he has power over your grave as well. Do you believe? You are a sinner. You need to believe this. You need to be raised to new life. You need to be raised to new life, because if not, you will die in your sins. If you die apart from Christ, you will be raised, but you will be raised to death, from death to death. And that second death is the lake of fire that burns. Not a pleasant paradise. Paradise is promised to the Christian, but the second death is promised to those who don't repent and believe. So I'm asking you, do you believe this? You must believe this. You must be born again.
Yes.
Martha runs to tell Mary that Jesus is here. Mary was mourning the loss of her brother with the others that have come to mourn. Mary comes out to Jesus in verse 32. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Very same thing Martha said. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And Jesus said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come see." And Jesus wept. Have I told you yet it's okay to feel the way you are when somebody you love dies? It's okay to feel that loss, to feel that pain, to feel that suffering, to say, "Where are you? Where were you when this happened, God? Why is this still happening? If you had been here, my brother would not have died." It's okay because God loves you. He knows how you feel. God stepped down, took on flesh, dwelt among his people, while being fully God, was still fully man. Hebrews 4:15 says we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weakness. Jesus knows what it's like to be human. He had true human emotions,
yes.
True human feelings. He knows. Jesus wept. A new friend of mine who I actually met here yesterday reminded me of this very important detail in this passage. Jesus sees Mary and the Jews weeping over the death of Lazarus, and it says he was deeply moved in his spirit. He was greatly troubled. And this Greek word here, deeply moved, can be translated, he groaned. This is a very emotional, visceral feeling that Jesus is having, a physical experience. And this word in Greek is not often used in the scriptures, but is to relay a sense of indignation that Jesus had at this moment, a sense of anger almost. Some scholars say that maybe this feeling was towards those who were weeping because they didn't exhibit faith. But some scholars say, and I agree, that Jesus, in his human nature, is feeling this moment. Jesus hates death. Jesus knows that death is a result of sin. Jesus hates sin. Death caused Martha and Mary and others to weep in pain. Again, Jesus hates death and sin. Sin caused death. And this is why Jesus was sent by the Father, to put an end to sin, to put an end to death. Jesus loves Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. Jesus loves you. He came to take your sin. He came to take your death on the cross, the death that you deserve. Jesus didn't deserve that death. Death is for sinners. Jesus was perfect, sinless lamb, but went to the cross to save sinners, to die for sinners. Jesus asks where the tomb is. Jesus knows what he's about to do, and he feels this righteous indignation. He groans in this very short verse in the Bible. Two words: Jesus wept. Yes. The God of the universe, the God who made everything, holy God, who sinners rebelled against, wept. He weeps over the loss of his friend. He weeps knowing the pain of his friend's sisters. He weeps with others. He weeps also knowing those around him may still not believe in the way they will experience the second death. We can't lose sight of this truth here, of God's love. I've said it multiple times today, and I'll say it again. God loves you. We can't overemphasize one attribute of God over another, but it's important. I think we lose sight sometimes of God's love, of his adoption of us as children, that God really loves you. Because sometimes, I'll be honest, it's hard to love myself. But God loves me, and he loves you. If you're a Christian and you've turned to Christ, yes, dark things happen in this world, but that doesn't stop the love of God in Christ Jesus for you.
That's right.
He loves you in this way, that he sent his only begotten Son to die in your place. Brothers and sisters, the God you sin against weeps with those who weep. It's okay to weep. Jesus wept. It's okay to weep. Verse 36, so the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? The Jews could see that Jesus loved Lazarus, but they could not see who Jesus was. They couldn't see yet who Jesus is, but they were about to see a miracle of God. And so far we've heard Jesus say that the death was for the glory of God. We see him moved with love, as Jesus is the love of God. Now we will see our third point, the power of God. Verse 38, then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took the stone away. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! And the man who died came out. His hands and feet were bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, unbind him, let him go. Again, Jesus here, deeply moved with groaning hatred against death and sin. He comes to where Lazarus is laid in the tomb, where he had been dead for 4 days. Decay had set in. Martha says, there must be an odor. The King James translates this, he stinketh. Death stinks.
Yes, it does.
There is a stench of death on every sinner. All sinners who have not turned to Christ walk around with this stench of death around them. They stinketh. They may not smell it. You may not directly smell it, but they are dead. I work as a carpet cleaner for a living. Sometimes I go into houses where they have pets. Sometimes these pets have accidents. Sometimes it stinks. Dirty job, but somebody's got to do it. But sometimes I go into these houses where it really stinks and the customer says nothing of the smell. And I ask them, have your dog or your cat had any accidents? We're like, oh, maybe a few here and there. And I try not to make a face like, a few? Here. But they've become nose blind to it. They've lived in it. They live there all the time. They don't smell the stench left behind by their pets. This is the way it is with sinners. They're nose blind to their stench. They don't smell death upon them, but it's there. This is the way it was with us before we came to Christ. We were dead. We smelled. We stinketh. But the Lord cleans us up, washes us off, because he took the punishment for us. But they, like Lazarus, like you, could be made alive. Jesus reminds Martha of what he said before. He says, if she believed, she would see the glory of God. Martha, maybe at this point, showing a little bit of doubt at the raising of Lazarus, but notice what doesn't happen. Jesus doesn't say, well, Martha, since you're not sure, I'm not going to do this for you. No, he doesn't say that. He says, well, I'm just going to go home since you don't believe. You're questioning me again. That's false. But people try to sell that. Hey, if you have enough faith, your friend will be healed. Hey, if you have enough faith, it's not the amount of our faith, but it's the man, the God-man who we have faith in that can raise. So don't follow those ministries that sell you those lies. So if it's your faith that controls if someone's healed or not. We are to have faith, but the faith of a mustard seed, a little bit of faith. And again, it's the faith. It's the person we have the faith in that raises the dead.
Amen.
So what happened? They took the stone away and Jesus prayed. He prayed out loud. Not because he had to be heard by God out loud. God always hears him. He is God. But so those around him could hear. And then Jesus, very specific in calling, says, Lazarus, come out. Very reminiscent of Genesis. Let there be light. Because Jesus, again, is God and has the power of life. Lazarus, dead for 4 days. Lazarus, who stinketh. Lazarus, not mostly dead, but fully dead, was raised to life by the power of God, by the simple words of Jesus. Christian, you and I were dead. We were dead. Dead in our trespasses and sins. But here's that Greek word again, dead. But, Ephesians 2:4, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. The man who died, Lazarus, came out of the grave. Jesus told them to take his grave clothes off him. He walked out, released from death. But Lazarus would die again. This wasn't the final resurrection for Lazarus. And this wasn't the greatest work, even at that point, that Jesus was going to do. It was a great miracle to raise him from the dead, but the greatest, most mind-blowing miracle is that Jesus would die for Lazarus. He would die for you. He would die for all who would believe.
Yeah.
Jesus would die for a sinner like me. But you've been raised now. You've been called out of your sinful state of death. Your grave clothes have already been taken off you and placed upon you are the righteous robes of Christ.
Amen.
Your sins are forgiven.
Thank you, Lord.
Because Jesus would not stay dead. Because you have believed, though you die, you will live. Lazarus was raised again to live forever. This event in the earthly life of Jesus was sovereignly ordained by God's decree for his glory. Jesus waited for Lazarus to die in order to raise him in front of his disciples and others so they would see his glory, so they would know his power over death. But we still die here. We still lose loved ones here. What about here and now? Again, it's okay. Even knowing there's a future resurrection, I will assure you again, it's okay to be sad. Even though you know and believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life, it is okay. Because death is still an enemy. We still have death. It's our enemy. It's the enemy of Jesus. But Jesus reigns. And be assured that Jesus reigns forever.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, but also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And then in verse 53, Paul writes, "For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this immortal body put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting?" Death does not have the final say.
No.
Jesus has overcome the grave. And those who trust in him, though you die, you shall live.
Amen.
As we wait for Christ to come back, again, I'll tell you, it's okay to be mad, to be frustrated, to weep, to groan, to mourn, to grieve. We miss our loved ones. But in this text, we see Jesus groan. Jesus wept. But Jesus has conquered. As Christians, we can know our Christian friends and family are with the Lord now. We can know that they are in heaven with Jesus now. They are in paradise. And when Jesus comes back, they will be resurrected. We will be resurrected. And if he comes back before we die, we will be called up to meet him in the air and to come back down with him in glory in the new heavens and the new earth. We have so much to look forward to. But we can take our time. We can mourn. We can grieve. But we need to look to the eternal joy of knowing Christ Jesus, of having our sins forgiven, of being with God in heaven forever,
yes,
of being in that ultimate worship service. Every tribe, nation, and tongue. Amazing. Amazing. Mm-hmm. And some of our loved ones are there now, worshiping,
yes,
in glory, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty."
Amen.
May you hear Jesus call you as he called Lazarus out of the grave. May he call your name and you respond and you come out and your grave clothes are taken off and that robe of righteousness placed on you. Christian, I'll say it one more time. One more time today. Maybe I'll say it later. But God loves you.
Yes.
God loves you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what we see Jesus do here with his friend Lazarus, who he loved. He loved Martha. He loved Mary. We see that God in the flesh loved, and that's a picture of God's great love to us. Lord, call out our names. If you haven't called anybody here today by name to come out of their grave, to be made alive, do so, please. I ask you, Lord. But Lord, also comfort us in the time of loss, in the time of lost loved ones, even the hard loss of somebody you may not know is in Christ, Lord. Let us be comforted with that, knowing that you are a loving God, that everything you do is for your glory and for the good of those who are called according to your purpose. So when we lose those around us who we love and we're not sure if they're a Christian, just assure us that you love us and you know what you're doing. You know far beyond what we know. So we thank you, Lord. We thank you for what Pastor Bill has done in this church. We thank you for you filling him with the Holy Spirit, knowing that anybody up here is not perfect, but it's by your Spirit. But may we work to glorify you and bring comfort to others in their time of loss. May we weep with those who weep, mourn with those who mourn, but rejoice with those who rejoice. We look forward to your coming, Lord. But may we continue to praise you today, knowing that we will rise when you call our names. I pray everything in the saving, glorious name of Jesus Christ. The saints of God said, amen.